Okay, so we have a lot of inyanim converging all at once with Shavuos, Parshas Saita, and Megillas Rus, and so many sugyas within Parshas Nasai, Saita, Nazir, Birkas Koyanim, and the Korbanos. Let's try to touch upon just a few of them. By way of Hakdama, so to understand Birkas Koyanim in Pshimias, so the Tzvar Makdoshim take us back to the Chet Adam HaRishon. And there's a very interesting and very beautiful Ha'ara from the Teferes Gershuni in explaining why it is that Nesias Kapayim, that the hands, the fingers, are the vehicle for Bracha, for Klal Yisrael. And he makes the following point. We'll come back to that. But we'll turn our attention to the Megillas Rus for a moment. The Rama Mipanu says that if you take a look at the Chet Adam HaRishon, and all of the different senses were involved in that chait, we don't find by Adam HaRishon that there was a lakicha of the Eitz Hadas. And in fact, Sefer Nachlas Binyamin, the Chidah quotes, I believe, says that, and it may even be a medrash, Adam HaRishon never took the pri in his hands. Tachva oisa befiv. She took it, and she put it into his mouth. Never interacted with the Pri Eitz Hadas with his hands. And Teferes Gershuni says, based on this, this is the reason why Birchas Kehanim is done with the hands. Neki Kapayim, there was a certain Nekias Kapayim at the time of the Chet Eitz Hadas. And as the Pasuk goes on to say, Yisa Bracha Me'es Hashem. Kapayim, Yisa, Nesias Kapayim. That's the first Ta'ar. Secondly, and we'll see how these two things come together. In Megillas Rus, when Boaz is making his kinyan on Rus, so they're in the Beis Din, and Megillah explains, Shalaf ish nalai, that he took off his na'al in order to make the kinyan, as part of what looked like a chalitza, but shalaf ish nalai. And Rav Chaim Kanevsky says, in time of the Kura, he knows that Targum has a different understanding of Shalaf Ish Nalai than the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara learns Shalaf Ish Nalai that the Nalai is referring to a shoe, but Targum says it's referring to a glove. And the Lashon of Targum is Utla Gavar Yasnartik Yad Yavine, the taking off of the right glove. And he wants to explain very beautifully, Kedak, like Rav Chaim Kanevsky, Lashitasai says it's Machlek is Bavli Rishami. It says that Boaz entered into the Sha'ar, and the Medrash in Rus Zutta says that he entered into the base Medrash. And that the Machlek is Bavli Rishami is one allowed to enter into Shul with his shoes on. And he says, based on this, we'll determine whether or not he had his shoes on already or not. If he's allowed in, then he took off his shoes. But if he's not allowed in, that's why he took off his glove, because his shoes were already off. And that's like the Rishami, and that's what the Targum is going with. But it's interesting, we see this Shalaf Ish Nalai, there's a taking off of the glove in the kinyan of Boaz of Rus. And we'll try to explain that in Pnimius and Mitzvah Hashem. So firstly, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. The Rosh has a Perish Al HaTorah, a very beautiful Perish Al HaTorah. And in Perakeh, he quotes Rabbi Yehuda Chassid as saying the following thing, and there's a similar Paneach Raza from the Bali HaTaisus, it says similar, but slightly different. He says, until Noach was born, mankind had webbed hands, meaning that we have fingers, and the fingers are separate one from the next. But until Noach was born, man had a type of a webbed hand, much like a frog would have, or other types of specimens like that. And he explains that Noach was the first to be born that way. And when Noach was born that way, it was a big tzara for people. Because until that point, when their hands were webbed, they were able to work the ground, because they had much more force, because all the hands were together. But now the Noach was born with split fingers, so it says it was an eis tzara la'olam, that how are they able going to work with hands like this to the ground? So with that, Noach invented the plow. Tanchuma says Noach's big innovation to the world was the plow. He was the inventor of the plow. So it almost seems as if Noach was seen as coming to the world to make a klala to the world, that he was bringing a detriment to the world, and he had to compensate for that, so he made the plow. that we have to explore and understand this idea. What does it mean that Noach was born with split fingers, and this was the first one to be born that way? Does that mean that Adam HaRishon was born, I won't say born, but he was created with hands like that? Pashtus not. In the same way that Adam was Nivra Mahol, but because of the Chayit, he had an Orla, safe to say that Adam HaRishon was created with split fingers. That's a mensch. That's a mensch in Tikkun. But because of the Chayit Adam HaRishon, he was given webbed hands. Why was he given webbed hands? Because there was a chorus. He would have to work the ground. So in make a taiva that Hashem did to him, bitzavin techlan, you'd have to work the ground. So he made him webbed hands so that he can work the ground easier. It was like the bracha within the klala. Now that he downgraded himself and he made a choice that he was boicher beit zadas taivara, not boicher beit zachayim. So he was downgraded. Now he had webbed hands like that. That it's difficult to say that he was created with hands like that and not split fingers. But didn't you not say that Adam HaRishon, there was never a lakicha in the Eitz Hadas? He never used his hands and take it from the Eitz Hadas. So why would be a klala to his hands? Isn't that the vehicle for bracha? So Teretz is that yes, you're right. He was not chayte with his hands in the Eitz Hadas. We don't find lashon lakicha. But what does it say after that? That he wanted to eat from the Eitz Hachayim. And then Hashem says, wait a second, no. Pen yishlach yaday v'lakach gam Eitz Hachayim. You can't take from the Eitz Hachaim after you take from the Eitz Hadas. It doesn't work that way. So he wanted to now use these hands to make pen yishlach yado v'lokach. Look how the Torah is explaining three words to try to explain that Adam wanted to take from the Eitz Hadas, from the Eitz Hachaim. But you can't make a gam out of the Eitz Hachaim. You can't take from the Eitz Hadas. And by the way, I'll also take from the Eitz Hachaim. It doesn't work that way. So that's when Hashem made the webbed hand. Because the webbed hand meant to say like this. You could be standing right next to the Eitz Hachaim and even take it with a hand like that. But that's not called a lakicha. It's not called a lechicha when you take the Eitz Hachaim with a webbed hand. If an animal would take something, if a frog would take something with a hand like that, it's not called a lechicha. But we see a very important insight. If a yid or anybody wants to take from the Eitz Hachaim, you have to take from the Eitz Hachaim first and then from the Eitz Hadas. And the Mefarshim explained, we've talked about this many times, that Adam HaRishon had an insight. Mikol Eitz Hagana Chotel Chel. He was told that you should eat from all the eats him in the gun. But from the Eitz Hadas, don't eat. But he had a dilemma. Didn't Hashem say eat from all the trees? So how am I supposed to eat from all the trees and also not eat from the Eitz Hadas? So he tried to find a way, and we're going very bekitzer in the sugi, it really deserves a shir on its own, to eat from the Eitz Hadas in a way that it wasn't called an eating from it. And that's why he didn't touch it. She put it into his mouth, meaning all the Ma'arishan tried to come up with all types of created ways to be able to eat from the Eitz Hadas in a way that it's not considered to be eating from the Eitz Hadas. But he didn't listen, and he got punished. Because he really shouldn't eat from the Eitz Hachaim first. But he did not. And Chazal said that had he either eaten from the Eitz Hachaim first or waited until Shabbos, it would have been a different Metzias. He would have made Kiddush on the Eitz Hadas. Because we know the Eitz Hadas was Geffen and Chita. So he might have made Kiddush on the Geffen of the Eitz Hadas Tevera. And he would have made Hamaitzi on the Chala, on the Chita of the Eitz Hadas Tevera. But he went out of order. He was mocked in the Eitz Hadas for the Eitz Hachaim. It doesn't work that way. You can't make a gam. Also take from the Eitz Chaim. You have to eat from the Eitz Chaim first, and then eat from the Eitz Hadas. That was the mistake of Adam HaRishon. But the webbed hand came into creation because of the chait of Eitz Hadas, but not because he was chaited with his hands, but that he shouldn't take from the Eitz Chaim. But this was a toelis for him. Now he could work the ground. Noach was born. What's going to be with people working the ground? So he made the machresha. But Noach was the first to be born into the world with split fingers. And that's why they said, Zayin achameinu mimaaseinu. From the itzavon, from the sadness of our hands. And this means to say as follows, that there were two voices, two opinions with the birth of Noach. Noach was going to bring a very big nechama to the world, Zayin Achameinu. But in what way? Was he going to be like Adam HaRishon, who was created with split fingers, and he was going to be a kohen? He was going to be a gevaldik oyved Hashem? Or was he going to just bring a plow to the world? And that was going to be his lasting contribution. And unfortunately, that was exactly what? Vayachel noyach ish adama. Chazal say, vayachel noyach means he became chulin. That he was destined for kedusha. He could have been a kayin. He could have been gevaldik. But instead, he became an ish adama. And that was his lasting contribution to society. Is that he was the creator of the plow. But he could have been very, very great. Al kopanim. That's why it says, vayanichehu began edin l'shamra. That he could have been like Adam HaRishon in the Gan. He had split fingers just like Adam was. He could have been that other Rishon. He could have made bracha through these fingers. But instead of choosing the derech of the Yetzer Chaim, he chose the path of Eitz Hadas Tavura. Now, just another reason, just to, as a side point, the significance of Noach being born with split fingers, the first one. The Gemara says, Lama etzba'is of shel adam meshupas ki yaseidas. Why are a person's fingers made like they are? Pointy. Shemishma adam davar sheino hagon. If a person hears something which is not appropriate, yaniach etzba'is of ba'aznav. He should put his fingers into his ears. Va'yedeze le'yishma. More first packing suvis. So what does that have to do with split fingers? So perhaps as follows. We've spoken about before in Parshas Bereishis. It says that after Cain kills Hevel, Hashem says that I hear this constant ringing in my ears. That the voice of Hevel is heard from the ground, crying out to Kadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem should avenge his blood. And we explained that this was a constant cry that Hevel had. It wasn't just a one-time thing. Hashem was always hearing the cries of Hevel. When will you take a vengeance for the blood that was spilled? And we said this is the reason why the Mabul had to come. The reason why the Mabul came was because it dug very deep into the ground, and in doing so was able to clear out the blood of Hevel which was in the ground, and in doing so wiped out all of Cain's descendants. There was nobody left. Because Noach himself was a descendant of Shais, and that means all the Hevel had no descendants because he was killed before he had any children, and all of Cain's, so there was Nekama on Cain with the Mabul. But what was the remez to Noach? The remez to Noach was, in making a finger like that, his fingers like that, was, I want you to take fingers and put them in my ears. I don't want to hear this voice of Hevel anymore crying from the ground. That's the Lashon of Gemara's Meramez in that. It says, why are a person's fingers pointed like this, like a yaseida, that you're able to put it into your ears, yaniach etzba'oisev ba'oznav. Yaniach is a Lashon Noach. Hashem is saying, I don't want to hear anymore the cries of Hevel. And Noach didn't act properly. That he could have been a major person, and he could have been Masaki in the Chait of Kai and the Chait of Adam. But instead, what did he do? He created a plow. What was a plow? A plow was another way of clearing out the blood from the ground. That's what a plow does. It digs deep into the ground. So, I mean, that was a very innovative, very secular, physical way, choldic way, of trying to deal with the problem of cold me'achecha tzokim elam in Adama. And Hashem says, that's not going to work. And Hashem made the Malbim took care of it the way that he was supposed to take care of it. But that was another remez to Noach that Hashem was saying, Zayin Achameinu, he would bring a Nechama also from the cries of Hevel in the ground. But again, Vayacha Noach Ish Adama, didn't fall through. This idea of eating from the Eitz HaChaim before the Eitz Hadas, we find as well in the Megillah. In Megillah's Rus, of course, Rus tells Nami something absolutely insane, to go lay by the feet of the God of Adar. And to tempt him, and to put him in the makom of sakana. What was that all about? Teretz is as follows. Is that Rus had the din of an Eitz Hadas Tavura. Because on the one hand, she had a Yiddish neshama. Like we've spoken about many times, that a ger is somebody who has a neshama and then becomes a Jew. That's the real ger. Like the Chida says, gershin is gayer. She goyshin is gayer. Why gershin is gayer? Because a ger is somebody who was always a Yid. And that was Rus. Rus was a very, very big neshama that from certain chatoim she fell into the hands of the klipa and she had to be brought back into the kedusha. And Boaz was able to see that in her. Ki eshes chayalat. I see that you're a very big neshama. So there was a nitzitz of tov within Rus, which had to be brought back, which is what Machlan and Kilimun are all about. They knew that too. But she was also ra, because she was in the hands of a very big klipa called Moav, which they weren't allowed into Klai Yisrael. So the biggest neshamas fall into the biggest klipas. That's called an Eitz Hadas, das Lashon, mixture of tavura. That was Rus. And Boaz was put into a nisayon of the Chet Eitz Hadas Tavura. Will he touch Rus before the time that he has a heter? And that was the mistake that Adam made. That had he waited until Shabbos, till tomorrow, then he would have been able to partake of the Eitz Hadas Tavura beheter. And the same thing with Boaz. But it says that he was very tempted. Nishba b'yitzray. He took an oath that he wouldn't touch her. Tzadikim ashbin es yitzron, Chazal say. And he said, Chai Hashem, the Torah, the Megillah says it, Chai Hashem, that he took an oath by Hashem's name. Chai Hashem is a remez to the Eitz HaChaim, that he was toifis in the Eitz HaChaim. And since he was toifis in the Eitz HaChaim, he was immune from the temptation of the Eitz Hadas Tavura. And he already had the drasha in his pocket of Moav v'Lemavis, and he came the next day, and he was mata her, and he took her out. But he was able to partake of the Eitz Hadas Toiv without having any chedek to the ra, because he was mocked in the Eitz HaChaim before the Eitz Hadas Tavura, and in doing so, he corrected the chet of Adam HaRishon. That was Baya's major accomplishment, that he was able to be mighty the snitz, it's called Rus, to eat from the Eitz Hadas Toiv without a chelik of the Ra. And in doing so, that he was zeichet to be Toifes Eitz Chaim, he was zeichet, of course, to David HaMelech and to Mashiach, and very great things come from that. But that's parenthetically why we read Megillat Rus on Shavuos, because Shavuos is the Torah, the Ilana Dachaya, it's the Eitz Chaim, the Torah, Eitz Chaim Mi Lamachazikim Ba, and it's called Shavuos Miloshon Shvua. But because Boaz took a shvua, he said Chai Hashem. He was toifes in the Ilan of the Chai. He was toifes in the Chai, and in doing so, he went higher to a higher place. The Gadol Marishon Koydem Achet, and he was able to be masakin, to be mighty, and to do the necessary tikkun. But we know that the Eitz Chaim has a shayches to bracha, like the Sfarim all say. I believe even the Zayar, Eitz Chaim is gematria bracha. The Eitz Chaim is the secret of bracha, and that's why immediately after that, what does the Medrash say? He says, Brucha at Lashem Viti. He gives her a bracha. And the Medrash Rabbi Yochanan says that a person should always go to a zakin for a bracha. Rus was 40 years old. She didn't have any children. Kevin Shabircho, he said, Tzadik Nifkida. But since she got a bracha from Boaz, Brucha at Lashem Viti, she was Zechet Tavchut Chazal. She didn't even have a womb. But Hashem made big nisim because Boaz made himself like a kayin, like Adam Harishon. And Mimela, he was able to be Mamshachar that bracha because he had a shaykhis to the Eitz Chaim, and he put the Eitz Chaim before the Eitz Hadas. And that's really what we see in the Parsha of Parshas Nasai, that it talks about Saita. V'nifkita v'nizru azara, without getting into the shaykhis of Rus to the Parsha of Saita. But it's a temptation. There's a nisayon that the woman, that the man is tempted in a nisayon. And v'niksa'a, if they have naki kapayim, then v'nizru azara, then the zaychit to a bracha. And that's the bracha which is called Birchas Kahana. Birchas Kahana is the bracha of the Zakin, is the bracha of the Kain. That if he's Omid bin Yisrael Eitz Hadas Taivira, and he's Taifis in Eitz Chaim, then he becomes a tzinor to be Mamshech that bracha. But these hands have to be clean hands. And then he's able to be Mamshech the bracha. So going back to our question, we've already connected the dash a little bit between Shavuos, Sait, and Birchas Kahanim, and Megillas Rus. Rav Chaim Kanevsky, as we had pointed out, Shalafish Naloi, the removal of the glove, according to Targum. Why the removal of the glove? Targum is because, what is a glove? A glove today is when we say glove, we're referring to a cloth which covers the palm, the hand, and each finger individually. But that's a very chashuv glove. Back in the day, they didn't make gloves like that. You know what they had? Mittens. Mittens. That was what a glove was. The whole Indian of a mitten is that it's like a webbed hand. It's a webbed hand. That's really what it is. But that doesn't represent the real fingers of an Adam. That is chituch etzbos. So when Boaz came, and he wanted to be kind of Rus, and he was wearing a webbed hand, and he took off that glove, that mitten, what does that represent? It represents exactly what was going on. It wasn't just a simon ba'alma. It signified the fact, and it was demonstrated, that the Boaz had a chance to touch Rus and he didn't touch her. Had he touched her, he would have had a webbed hand. And now that he didn't, he had split fingers. That he was the hands of Adam Harishon. Not real hands, hands of Bracha. And that's why he said Brucha at Lashon Viti after that. He had the hands of a Kayin. But that's exactly what Shalaf Ishna'alo means. Shalaf Ishna'alo means that he took off the glove, which looked like a human being has a webbed hand, and he showed that no, a man has Chituch Etzpos. Because since he took the Eitz HaChayim properly before the Eitz Hadas, he was zeichet of such a hand like that. That's the simon of what was taking place. Shalaf ishnala. A tikkun of what's called me'itzvon yadenu, sad hands, and he revealed hands of simcha. It goes very nicely because the Gemara refers to a tefach. There's two types of tefach. There's a tefach seichik and a tefach etzef. You know, tefach is measured by a hand. So a tefach seichik means a jolly hand. A happy tefach, which means like a spread out tefach. But a tefach etzef means like it's bound together. It's a tight tefach. So meaning the hands can be hands of simcha, or they can be hands of atzvas. Me'itzvon yadeinu. And because of the chet adam arishon, vayis'atzev yalibo, the whole marble came because of the atzvas in the times of Noach, which means like there was a depression because the hands are connected to the leif, and that's called vayis'atzev yalibo. We have to make hands of simcha, the hands of kohanim are neki kapayim, yisav racha, v'hayei bracha, hands of bracha, hands of simcha. That's called tefach seichik as opposed to tefach esek. Al kaponim, we see here, shalaf ishnaloi is a remiss to a much bigger inyan, that Boaz was shaykh to the world of the Eitz HaChayim and not to the world of the Eitz HaDas. So shalaf ishnaloi is what shatev us nasai, which is a remes to the inyan of the parsha, but it's also a remes to Mashiach Tzidkenu, because you know that there's a very big web in the world today. It's called the World Wide Web. That's not the only web in the world, but the world is nitfas in a giant web, the web of the klipa, one big na'al, a giant na'al, which covers the world, which is why there's a hasta asapan. We can't see the Ribbono Shel Olam clearly to be able to say Zekei L'Merveyu because of this great na'al which is on the world. Only on Yom Kippur that there's a revelation, and that's why what Yom Kippur is a Shaykh Chesed Yitzchayim, is a Reza D'Chayim, and that's why what's the last tefillah on Yom Kippur? Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah means that Yom Kippur is Nisgala by Ne'ilah time, that we remove the na'al. We remove the na'al of the world and we can see everything very clearly. That's what's called Shalafish Na'alai. Shavuos has that Bechina also. Yom Kippur and Shavuos are called Yom Echad B'Shana, one day of the year. Shai Chesed Yitzchayim. And Shalafish Na'alai means that it's a Zman. We remove the Na'al from the world, and that's what Boaz was involved in, that's what David HaMelech was involved in, to remove the Na'al of the world, which is a concealment, to be able to see the Ribbono Shel Olam in his Achdus. And that's why Shalafish Na'alai. So if you take Mashiach B'Miluai, you spell out Mashiach B'Miluai, Gematria Shalafish Na'alai. Shabazeich to finally see that day, Zakilim Vinveyu, to be able to see God's Baruch Hu's oneness, to come and share Tzidkenu here in the name of Amen.